So the body can only experience so much. We're motivated by the pleasures the body enjoys, but then the spirit is capable of much more intense enjoyment than the body is. The body's greatest enjoyment probably is through sex for intensity of enjoyment, but the spirit is way beyond that. Matter of fact, it's interesting, in the Bible it says Adam knew Eve and begot Abel. The word for sex was knowing. And then in the later it says, this is eternal life, that you shall know God. Okay, so it's eternal life to have sex with God. In other words, but sex is the ultimate sensation for the body, but there's many sensations beyond that in the spirit that are much higher and much more intense than that which can be felt by the body. But the greatest enjoyment of sex is kind of approaches spirit, but isn't quite there.
Okay? It's a divine intercourse.
Yeah. But if we transcend the body and the feelings of the body to focus on the higher feelings, then those higher feelings can be felt. And when the molecule is established, when the link is made, everybody will feel a divine flow of energy that will bring them to a high that is hard for us to conceive at this point. It will be something that's beyond anything that you felt before. Just imagine on the day of Pentecost when they made that link. Imagine what they probably felt when those flames of fire appeared over all the heads of the apostles.
Is there a danger it will kill us?
What say?
Is there a danger it will kill us?
It would kill a person that isn't prepared for it. If you're prepared for it, then you will just really enjoy it. But it'll be all you can handle when it does happen. But yeah, there's a... the Tibetan talks about that quite a bit, about if the centers, for instance, are artificially unfolded prematurely, then it can produce a lot of complications and even death, he says, is possible. So he, in meditation, for instance, he recommends you proceed normally and gradually and don't overstimulate any particular centers. So the people that participate in the linking of the molecule will be higher than average in their centers being open. If a person was very carnal and that spiritual energy flowed through them, they would probably not be able to handle it at all.
Is the fires that came down, is that the eternal fires of love in the Pentecost? The baptism of fire?
Well, it's all of them. It's the fires of love and the light of the mind and the power of God, the whole trinity of energies there. Yeah.
Well, the real joy happens to know that Tyler's feeling the same thing that I'm feeling. Artie's feeling the same thing. And we're all feeling the same thing at the same time, so we can relate that high celestial vibration. So it's not just happening to one person, but you're sharing that with the group.
Yeah, and I remember one time Curtis and I shared that together after we visited the general authorities, Mark Peterson and Bruce R. McConkie, and we had an interplay with them, and they totally rejected our message. And so we went out behind the church office building and Krishna says, well, I guess we've done everything we can do. And I said, well, there's one more thing. Scripture says if your message is rejected, to shake the dust of your feet, your shoes off on them, and put them into the hands of God. I said, so let's do that. So we went behind some bushes of the church office building there. We took off our shoes and dusted them off on the authorities in the name of God. And when we did that, we both felt a spiritual fire at the same time. And we kind of looked at each other and knew what each other was feeling at that moment. But we expected something to really happen to him. And the next conference was interesting in the fact that McConkie kept saying, forget Joseph Smith. He says, all you need to know is that there is a living prophet. And he really downplayed Joseph Smith. But then the next conference, he talked about Joseph Smith in very strong language, testified about him and everything. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But we didn't hear anything about him until about a year later. I was visiting my mom, and in the church news, there was a little article about McConkie and Peterson, that they had both had cancer for a year, and they were both near death, suffering from the same thing. And so the beginning of that cancer was the same time Curtis and I visited them. And so something did happen. But, so anyway, yeah, that sharing of energy is very important. And the reason it just doesn't, they just don't, the hierarchy just doesn't, or the higher self or the hierarchy just doesn't pass it out on any occasion, is because it's dangerous to receive it if you're not ready. And if there's a strong chance that you will go against that energy, that direction. And I think this was a problem they had in the days of Joseph Smith and also other times in history, is the hierarchy helped too much. And with Joseph Smith, for instance, he wound up half of the people that were close to him turned on him and wanted to kill him. And of course, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And then other spiritual teachers have had problems. And it's amazing, too, that after all those miracles Jesus did, most people just fell away, even though they witnessed all these things. So I think I've had the strong feeling for most of my life that they are very hesitant, that they've kind of pulled back, because when miracles happen, they often draw people of a lower evolution more than a higher evolution, and they are not ready for it. And then when something happens that's negative, they fall away or they turn and they become enemies to the truth rather than disciples for the truth. And this has happened again and again throughout history. So my intuition on this is that they would prefer to work over a longer period of time and develop a powerful seed group that are very reliable and unshakable. And this way, their work won't be corrupted. Because that was another problem with, say, the Christian church and almost any inspired organization, is it gets corrupted. With the Christian church, for instance, the disciples went out, they taught, they brought in a lot of people, they also got killed, and their teachings were altered and distorted. And then eventually, who got control of the church? It was the state. The Roman Empire got control of the church through Constantine and told everybody what to believe. And if you didn't believe that, then you could be put to death. So you had to go along with the Orthodox teaching on the Trinity and all kinds of things. Or you couldn't really doubt any of them. You couldn't ask any questions. And it was that way from Constantine up to the Renaissance. Things began to change a little bit. People began to think for themselves again. It's important that a group be established for a seed group where everyone in it is solid and immovable and can't be shaken by, you know, just something bad happening in their life, or maybe somebody in the group saying something negative or something they don't like, so they leave or they become an enemy to the group. And so if we can get eventually 24 really solid people that are focused in the light, that are able to hold their minds steady in the light, then we can create a molecular order for the first time that will not be destroyed. Because in the past, it says in the scriptures that the Antichrist prevailed against the saints until the Ancient of Days came. Okay? And this is the trouble. The saints, the hierarchy, does a great work, but then the forces of darkness prevail against them. And this has happened time and time again, until it says the Ancient of Days would come. Okay? Now, he may not come in an actual physical body or make a physical appearance, but his presence will be linked through the molecular order. When the molecule is established, it will be linked through Christ, and then Christ will be linked to the Ancient of Days and to the Most High of this planet. And this will give us power so that the saints can finally prevail, the lights of the earth can finally prevail for the first time. Because no other time in history have they prevailed. They have made their point, they got their teachings out there, but then they were destroyed, the teachings were corrupted and altered and made to suit the purposes of the powers that be. But this cannot happen forever. There's a point to where the power of the kingdom of God will shift to the lights of the earth, and this will eventually transform the earth. So as the scripture says, the earth will eventually be full of the knowledge of the Lord.
The scripture that you were referring to, the Ancient of Days and the Antichrist, that was speaking in a future tense, right? That you're saying that it, when the Ancient of Days comes, then they'll prevail over the Antichrist.
Right, that's a future.
And where is that scripture? I don't...
Book of Daniel.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that was written over 3,000 years ago. And
Tibetan talks about, I'll bring this up on Saturday, but a future approach that's going to happen in basically our time is when he's seeing it, when the Shambhala energies through Sanat Kumara will create a major planetary shift through first ray energy, which will be delivered to humanity.
Right, and that's from the Ancient of Days.
Right.
Because he's presides over the first ray, the energy of power. And in the Mormon scriptures it says, when Zion is established, it must needs be established by power. Yeah.
So you're saying that the Ancient of Days will come through the connection of the Christ to the molecule.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm a little scared now.
It'll be steep down.